بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد continue our readings in كتاب التوحيد by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى. We have been reading from the chapter, the author, he has mentioned Babun min al-shirk, lubs al-halqa, wal-khayti wal-nahwihima, li-raf' al-bala, aw daf'ihi. The author, he has mentioned the title of this chapter, from shirk, from the aspects of shirk is that one would wear a ring or a string or something similar to this in order to remove harm or disease or sickness or to prevent it. The author, he mentioned a verse in some narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and one narration from one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have read these, and what is left is the masail, the masail of the bab. We can read the text again briefly for the review. The author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى قُلْ أَفَرَأَيْتُ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَنِي اللَّهِ إن أرادني الله بضر هل هن كاشفات ضري الآية. The author, he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, have you not seen those who you call on besides Allah? If Allah wanted to harm me, will those that you call on besides Allah be able to remove his harm? Until the end of the verse. And the author, he mentioned when Imran ibn Hussein رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى رجلا في يده حلقة من صفر. فَقَالَ مَا هَذِي قَالَ مِنَ الْوَاهِنَا. Also the author, he mentioned the narration of Imran ibn Hussein رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he saw a man that he had a حلقة on him, he had a ring on him, on his arm, from brass or from copper. So he said, what is this? And the man, he said, مِنَ الْوَاهِنَا, it's from الْوَاهِنَا. الْوَاهِنَا is a type of ailment that inflicts the arm and it brings pain in the shoulder and goes down into the hand. He said, it's from this disease or from this ailment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faqala inzirha fa innaha la taziduka illa wahna. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take it off. And likewise we seen in one narration, inzirha wa mudha, take it off and get rid of it. Take it off and get rid of it, because it will not increase you in anything except for weakness and in sickness. فَإِنَّكَ لَوْ مِتَّ وَهِيَ عَلَيْكَ مَا أَفْلَحْتَ أَبَدًا. Verily, if you died and that was on you, without seeking repentance, if you died and that was on you, then you will never be successful. He says, رَوَاهُ أَحْمَدُ بِسَنَدٍ لَا بَأْسَ بِهِ وَلَهُ عَنْ عُقْبَةَ إِبْنْ عَامِرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا مَنْ تَعَلَّقَ تَمِيمَةً فَلَا أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ وَمَنْ تَعَلَّقَ وَدْعَةً فَلَا وَدَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Also from the narration of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, the author, he mentioned from the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, whoever hangs a tamima, an amulet, and then may Allah not allow him to achieve his goal, and whoever hangs a wad'ah, similar like an amulet, but this one is from a shell from the shore, so may Allah not allow him to have safety or to have wellness, or may Allah Azza wa Jalla not allow him to have relaxation. Then he mentioned rahimahullah wa fi riwayatin man ta'allaqa tamimatan faqad ashraka. Likewise then one narration that whoever hangs an amulet, whoever hangs one of these tamimas, a tamima, then verily he has committed shirk. And the author, he mentioned what Ibn Abi Hatim and Hudhayfa رضي الله عنه أنه رأى رجلا في يده خيط من الحمى فقطعه وتلا قوله تعالى وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون. Likewise from the narration of Ibn Abi Hatim, from the hadith of Hudhayfa رضي الله عنه, that he saw a man in his hand wearing a string, claiming that it would protect him or remove the fever, so he cut it from him and he recited the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, the majority of them do not believe in Allah except for that they make shirk with him. So these are the narrations that we have read, and the evidences the author, he has mentioned with regards to this chapter. So we close with the masail that he mentioned, fihi في هذا الباب مسائل. There are some benefits and issues related to this chapter. He says الأولى التغليظ في لبس الحلقة والخيط ونحوهما لمثل ذلك. The first issue here that we benefit from these narrations, these texts, is to have a stern prohibition and to be harsh upon those who wear a ring or a string or that which is similar to that for this reason. And the author, we see that he mentioned these narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, انزعها وانبذها, take it off and get rid of it. And then he's stern about this, and he take it off and get rid of it. So this is not something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took lightly. Likewise, in the same narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told that man, in mitta wahiya alayka ma aflahta abada, if you die and that was on you, you'll never be successful. And this is all from the aspects of what the author is mentioning, that this affair here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was stern about that. He was stern and harsh about this issue. It was not something that he took lightly. And also the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he seen the man, or he mentioned the one that wears one of these amulets for this reason, with this creed and with this false belief, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua against him. The Prophet, he said, فَلَا أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ, then may Allah Azza wa Jal not allow him to achieve his goal. So we see that this tamima, what they call in Arabic, tamima, is from the verb tamma. Tamma is to complete something, or atamma is to make something complete. So they would have this tamima, believing that it would be a means to complete their endeavor. Whatever they are hoping to perform, they want to be safe. They believe that this would be a means to help them achieve safety. They want to be free from the ayn. They believe that this would be a means to protect them from the ayn, so on and so forth, or to remove disease and ailment. They believe that this thing here would be the means of completing what they hope for, or for protection of what they feared. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua against them for the opposite of that. Al-mu'amala bi-niqid al-qasd. فَلَا أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ, so may Allah Azza wa Jalla not allow him to achieve what he intended. And this is all showing sternness with regards to this issue, as the author he's mentioning. Likewise with the one, with regards to the one that wears the wada'a, وَتَعَلَّقَ wada'atan, and the wada'a is similar to a tamima, but it's specific, it's the one that's made from the sadaf, or from the shells that come on the seashore and the likes. They would make this tamima from these shells. And they believe that it would be a means for them to have tranquility, or that it would be a means for them to have peace or ease, or to have afia, and the likes like this. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua, may Allah not allow him to have afia, may Allah wada Allahu lah, may Allah not allow him to have da'a wa raha, and he be safe, or may him not allow him to be in a state of safety or security. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was harsh about this, and clarifying that. Likewise, we see even in the companions, the narration of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he took it off of him directly. And one narration that has come from that wording of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, that he said, لَوْ مِتَّ وَهِيَ عَلَيْكَ مَا صَلَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ, if you died and that was on you. This is now the narration of Hudhayfa, one of his companions he's visiting whenever he was sick. He's seen him with one of those strings on for this reason. He said to him, radiallahu anhu, if you died and that was on you, I wouldn't pray upon you. I wouldn't pray janazah on you. I wouldn't pray janazah on you. This is all to express the severity of this issue. That it's not something light to take amulets and to hang objects, or whether they're on a vehicle or an animal or on a child or on oneself, in any place, on his neck or on his hand or anywhere, believing that this thing will be a means to protect him or to help him or to aid him. And the likes like this, whether this is something that is from shirk, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ta'allaqa tamimatan faqad ashraka," and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was stern about this. This is the first issue. الثانية أن الصحابي لو مات وهي عليه ما أفلح. The author, he says, the second issue or the benefit from this chapter is that a companion, one of the companions, if he were to die, he would never be successful. The author, he is deriving this from the narration of Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu. And the wording that we see here, he said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى رجلا في يده حلقة من سفر. That a man, he saw, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he saw a man. And one of the wordings, here in this wording, Imran radiallahu anhu, أبهم الرجل. He didn't mention who he was. He said there was a man, the Prophet ﷺ saw him with a string on, or a ring on, like this. But in some of the narrations it came that he came to the Prophet ﷺ himself and he had the ring on. And he had the ring on himself. Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ told him directly to take it off. And that's the narration here. So the author is referring to this here. And to show the severity of this issue likewise, أن الصحابي لو مات وهي عليه ما أفلح. That if a companion he had died in this state, with this ring on, with this creed, he would not be successful. And he mentioning that to clarify, what if it was somebody else? If that's the case of a companion, from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had this on at this time, then how about those who are lesser than him? So he says here, rahimahullah, فيه شاهد لكلام الصحابة أن الشرك الأصغر أكبر من الكبائر. And also this is a proof here from the understanding and from the statements of the companions that الشرك الأصغر, the minor shirk, and he compared to the major shirk, the minor shirk, it is greater than the major sins. We see that the sins, they're not all one level. Actions of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're not in one category or in one status or one severity. Rather, some of them are greater than others. But what is important to mention is the statement of some of the salaf. They would say, not to look at the size of the sin, but look to the greatness of the one you are disobeying. So we shouldn't take sins lightly. And that's not the intent from the ulama clarifying that this sin is minor and that sin is major. This is to clarify the reality of the issue. But disobedience, all of it, is a means that leads to the hellfire. وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا. That whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger will enter him in the fire. And the minor sins, if they are done with consistency, then they are considered major sins. A minor sin that is done with persistence, it is considered a major sin. But the issue here is with regards to severity. Which one is greater? The companions, فِيهِ شَاهِدٌ لِكَلَامِ الصَّحَابَةِ أَنَّ الشِّرْكَ الْأَصْغَرُ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. That shirk al-asgar is greater than the major sins. He is referring to some of the statements of the companions. For example, from that is the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that he said, لَأَنْ أَحْرِفَ بِاللَّهِ كَاذِبًا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَحْرِفَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ صَادِقًا. That if I were to swear by Allah while lying, is more beloved to me than to swear by other than Allah while telling the truth. You understand that? The statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, the fact that I would swear by Allah while I'm lying is more beloved to me, more preferable to me than to swear by other than Allah while I'm telling the truth. Huh? Why?
Because if you swear by other than Allah, even if you're telling the truth, that's shirk. If you swear by Allah while you're lying, that's not shirk.
That's not shirk. It's a sin. So there's a difference here. The companions and the fahm of Sahaba, the understanding of the Sahaba, this is what they're able to identify, which one is greater. So to lie, no doubt, is a major sin. Lying is a major sin, and it's from the attributes of the hypocrites and the munafiqeen. Naam, it's from their main characteristic and trait. Naam, the lying, and lying it leads to the hellfire. Lying is corruption, fujur. But greater than lying is shirk, or shirk al-asgar. And this is the understanding of this companion, radiallahu anhu, that to lie is a great sin, but to swear by other than Allah is greater than that. But to swear by other than Allah, and truthfully, to swearing by other than Allah is greater than lying, is more severe. This reminds us of the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. The meaning of what he mentioned is, لَيْسَ الْفَقِيهُ مَنْ عَرَفَ الْخَيْرُ مِنَ الشَّرِ. The one who has understanding in the deen, the faqih, is not the one who knows the good from the evil. And this is something that is clear, generally, for most people, especially those who learn. But الْفَقِيهُ مَنْ عَرَفَ الْخَيْرُ مِنَ الْخَيْرَيْنِ وَالشَّرَّ مِنَ الشَّرَّيْنِ. But the one who is a faqih, and the one who has understanding in the deen, is the one who knows the best of the two goods. And he knows the worst of the two evils. Like here, knowing that shirk al-asghar is greater than The major sins is greater than the major sins. Naam. So he says, رحمه الله تعالى, أنه لم يعذر بالجهالة. أنه لم يعذر بالجهالة. That in this narration, that the companion, this individual, he was not excused for ignorance. He was not excused for ignorance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, ما هذه? What is this? Whenever he told him what it was, he didn't say, well, do you believe that it's going to help you? Do you believe that it does this? He didn't ask about his creed with regards to the issue. He didn't seek details. لم يفصل أو يستفصل صلى الله عليه وسلم. He didn't seek details. And then he mentioned that it was from the Wahina. So he said, if you died, you'll never be successful. If you die while that's on you, you'll never be successful. He didn't give him excuse صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's for the issue of العذر بالجهل. This is a big issue. Possibly we'll discuss this issue in later portions of this work. Ta'afi, he says, الرابعه انها لا تنفع في العاجله بل تضر لقوله لا تزيدك الا وحنا. That the fourth issue is that it does not benefit any now, it does not benefit in present time, of course not in the hereafter. That's why he's wearing it, thinking that it will remove the pain from this ailment, al-wahina. He says that it will not benefit, but rather it will bring harm. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا تزيدك إلا وحنا, that it will not increase you in anything except for weakness. إلا وحنا أي مرضا وضعفا. It will not increase you in anything except for weakness. The reality of this issue is that these amulets, they do not benefit nor do they harm. صح? They do not benefit, nor do they harm. This amulet that he's wearing, or this ring that he's wearing, or this bracelet that he's wearing, or whatever the case may be, in reality, it does not have the ability to protect or to benefit, nor does it have the ability to harm. So then, this is the asl, sah. Only Allah benefits, and only Allah can allow harm to occur. Naam. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لا تزيدك إلا وحنًا. It's not going to increase you in anything except for weakness. How is that?
His intention.
His intention.
Yeah, thinking that it's dominant.
It's an عقوبة from Allah Azza wa Jal. But it's also from his intention. صح. But this is a punishment. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua against the one who did it. He wanted to have this done for him, so he wore the amulet. The Prophet ﷺ made dua against him that it wouldn't work. And so this is something the ulama, they mention a principle. It's called al-mu'amala bi-niqil al-qast, that somebody will be dealt with the contrary intention. He had the intention for this thing to benefit him, and he took the wrong means. So it will not benefit him, rather it will harm him as a punishment. And the ulama, they mention, for example, an example for this particular principle, that somebody who is waiting to get an inheritance, he can't wait. He can't wait to get his inheritance. He can't wait for his relative to die so he can get the inheritance. So he hurries up and kills him. He'll kill him so that he can get the inheritance. But the ruling is that the one who kills will not inherit. The al-qatil la yurath. The one who kills. So he wanted to hasten the issue, and he wanted to do this, but in reality he only prohibited himself. And so the ruling is going to be, he's going to be dealt with in the opposite manner of his foul intention. The one who has a foul intention and he takes the incorrect means, then he will be dealt with contrary to that. And this is something that's found in the principle. Like this one, he wanted to have this tamima complete his affair for him. So the Prophet ﷺ made dua against him. To not have that. So similar like this. Here in the same issue here. This person, he wanted to have this ring or this copper band or bracelet help him or protect him or stop the pain or stop the weakness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it will not increase you in anything except for weakness. So this is a punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal. But the reality is that the person, his intention, he has attached his heart to this thing. And he believes in it, and he hopes in it that it's going to help him. So somebody who has attached his heart to something other than Allah Azza wa Jal, then what will he be? He's relying upon something other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Is he relying upon something strong? No, he's relying upon something weak. And then this thing is a ring. He's put his reliance and his trust on this thing. So this is not, he can never be strong. And that's why the ulama, they mentioned that if you, Shaykh Fawzan, he mentioned this, Hafidhullah. And it's a very great benefit. If you see those people that have, for example, hang them in their cars like this. The ones who hang the eye and the hand in their car, the hand like this, like it's going to stop the ayin from coming. Don't come here like this, huh? But you'll find that these people, they're the most nervous and they're weak and they're scared and they're always, what's going to happen? This is going to happen. Oh, this the ayin is going to come, or I have to do this. And he's always worrying, and he's never in rest because he has his heart attached to this falsehood. To this falsehood as a punishment. You'll find them, that, and those people that believe that there are other things besides Allah that can cure them, and they're attached to these things. You'll find them that their bodies are weak, or that their minds are weak, and that they're afraid of the slightest thing, and that they have no comfort. On the other hand, somebody who trusts Allah and he put his reliance upon Allah, you will find him strong, and you will find him steadfast, and you will find him, he's not afraid of anything, and that he submits to the command of Allah, and he has ease in his heart, so on and so forth. So the one who relies upon these things, this reliance is not going to increase him in anything except for weakness. And anything except for weakness. Naam, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. الخامسة الانكار بالتغليظ على من فعل مثل ذلك. Also, not only a تغليظ في الأمر, but here to reprimand them, to reprimand them harshly. And as we see in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reprimanded them and he made dua against them. Likewise, Hudhayfa, he took it off of him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, take it off and get rid of it. Hudhayfa, he took it off himself. He took it off the man. He took it off of him, and he told him, if this was on you, if you died and this was on you, I wouldn't even pray on you. You know, so they, whenever they refuted and whenever they prohibited that evil, they're harsh with that. They're harsh with that, and because this is a very dangerous affair. Now, so he says the السادسة التصريح بأن من ألقى شيئا وكل إليه. Clarification of the issue of that: if somebody were to hang something, then he will be entrusted to that thing. And if he were to hang it with this intention. If he were to hang it in this intention, this issue, actually, this is a wording of a narration that will come in the next chapter. The next chapter is a completion of this chapter. But I mentioned briefly here, this narration we will discuss, inshallah, that to hang something is in two types, or actually three. But the main issue here is the hanging of the heart. Well, the word ta'allaqa, it means to hang something, but it really means to when you hang it, you attach it. So the issue here is the attachment of the heart to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the one that attaches his heart to other than Allah Azza wa Jal with hope of bringing about good, or with hope that it will protect or remove harm. Then this person, he has attached himself to something that is weak. And the one who does this and attaches himself to something other than Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will leave him to that thing. And this will be a means for his weakness and for his destruction. But as for the one who attaches his heart to Allah Azza wa Jal and reliance and trust and fear and hope, then he will be strong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid him and support him and take care of his affairs and give him contentment in his heart. And so from the greatest acts of worship and from the greatest levels of ibadah, at-tawakkul. At-tawakkul wal-itimadu ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi jami' al-umur. As-sabi'ah. التصريح بأن من ألقى تميمة فقد أشرك. Also from the benefits of this chapter is the clarification that whoever hangs one of these tamimas with this intent or wears one, then verily he has committed shirk. الثامنة أن تعليق الخيط من الحمى من ذلك. Also to clarify the eighth point, the author he mentions also to hang a string or something because of a fever, and with this intention, also is from the same ruling. التاسية تلاوة حذيفة الآية دليل على أن الصحابة يستدلون بالآيات التي في الأكبر على الأصغر كما ذكر ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما في آية البقرة. The ninth benefit here or مسألة, he says رحمه الله, that the recitation of حذيفة, this verse, وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون. The majority of them do not believe in Allah except they associate partners with him. And the majority of the people, they believe in Allah as the creator, but they associate partners with him in worship. So Hudhayfa, he recited this verse at this time whenever he's seen that man wearing that string. And we know that the ruling of wearing that string, if he believes that it's only the means, that is Shirk Asghar. He believes it's only the means. Allah is the one who protects him. Allah is the one who helps and aids him. He believes that, but he wears this string believing it's the means. And it's not a legislated means. This is considered Shirk Asghar. But Hudhaifa, whenever he's seen this, he recited this verse, which is in reference to Shirk Al-Akbar. So this is the issue here, that the author, he's saying that the companions, they would use as evidences to refute and to clarify the dangers of minor shirk. They'll use the evidences referring to major shirk. And this is because both of them are considered shirk and both of them are considered haram. So they're together in this. Although the ruling is different, the one who commits major shirk, the ruling is different from the one who commits minor shirk. But the fact that both of them are considered shirk and both of them are haram and from the major sins, then the evidences, minor and major shirk, they all are included in the same evidence. They are all included in the same evidence. And this is from the understanding of the Sahaba like Hudhaifa in this narration, radiallahu anhu. Also, he mentioned a narration with this meaning from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he used the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. There were some people, they would say, they would have shirk in the mashi'ah, which also, it's called shirk al-alfaz, and it was a type of minor shirk, but whenever he would refute them, he would use this verse here, which is referring to major shirk. So this is what the author is mentioning here, that the companions, they will use the verses and the evidences referring to major shirk to warn against and to refute the people involved in minor shirk. Minor shirk. Al-Ashirah, he says, أَنَّ تَعْلِيكَ الْوَدَعِي عَنِ الْعَيْنِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Also to hang these shells and the likes for protection from the ayn is all from the same issue, the same ruling. The same ruling. In reality, whatever it is, whether it's beads or whether it's shells or whether it's a rabbit's foot or whether it's some people, they hang horseshoes in their houses, the horseshoe over the door. Others, they have a crow's foot. Some people, they hang, they have animal eyes, like for example, the eyes of a fox, and some of them or a wolf, and they have different beliefs. And also the American Indians in these lands, they have something called a dream catcher. It's a round thing and it looks like a net, and they hang it and it's supposed to protect them from bad dreams and nightmares. All of this is from the same issue, hanging these things, whether it's from brass as mentioned in the narration, or whether it's from the shells as mentioned in the other narration, or whatever the case may be. Whatever is hung, even if it's just a string, also in this what will come in the next chapter, inshallah, whatever is hung or is taken as an amulet for this intention, then this is the ruling. It is all considered from the same aspect of at-tamima. Al-hadiya ashra. Ad-du'a ala man ta'allaqa tamimatan an Allah la yutimmu lah. Wa man ta'allaqa wad'atan fala wada'a Allahu lah. Ay taraka Allahu lah. Naam, so the 11th benefit, the author, he mentioned the supplication and making dua against the one who hangs a tamima, that Allah will not allow him to achieve his goal. And likewise, from the narration, that whoever hangs a wad'a, which is the shells, the shell, with the same purpose, then may Allah not leave him in peace. And may Allah, they will hang the wad'a, and the same word, just like tamima, has the meaning of tamma. He wants that his affair to be completed by the tamima. Likewise, the wada'a, from the meaning of wada'a or adda'a, is relaxation and raha and ease. So they would find themselves in worry or illness and like this, and they wanted to be in a safe state, and they wanted to be in ease and relaxation. They will hang this thing for this reason. That's why they call it the wada'a. And so the stishqaq. What's it called? The word is derived from this word, has a similar meaning from what it's derived from. From what it's derived from. At-tamima, they believe it will complete their affair for them or help them to achieve their goal. And the wada'a, they believe that would bring them da'a and raha and sukoon, that they will be able to be relaxed and the likes like this. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua against all of them for the opposite of that which they were hoping for. After this, the author, he mentioned the next chapter, which is a completion of this chapter. Babu ma ja'a fi ruqa wa tama'im. Babu ma ja'a fi ruqa wa tama'im. The chapter with regards to what has come in the issue of ruqa, which is the plural of ruqya, and at tama'im. He mentioned here at tama'im is the plural of tamima. and he mentioned it directly. The last chapter, what did he say? Min ash-shirk. From shirk is to wear a ring or a string, or other than that, with the intention of removing harm or prohibiting it, or preventing it, of removing harm or preventing it. So in the first chapter here, he said min ash-shirk. It's from shirk. And he mentioned specifically wearing the ring or the string. Or he said, and other than them with this intent. And in this chapter, he says, مَا جَاءَ فِي الرُّقَى وَالتَّمَائِمِ. What has come with regards to الرُّقَى وَالتَّمَائِمِ. الرُّقَى وَالتَّمَائِمِ. That's because here he didn't mention from shirk. Because here there's tafsir. Here there's detail. So the author, he separated these two chapters because in the first chapter here, and wearing the khayt and the halqa for this intention is from shirk. Because it has come directly in the text. As for tama'im, we'll see that there's tafsir in that. So that's why he said, وَنَحْوِهِمَا لِرَفِ الْبَلَىٰ. But some of the ulama differed about the tama'im, which ones would be permissible and which ones are not. But I mentioned now briefly that all of them are impermissible, and that's the best opinion, like the opinion of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And the ruqa likewise. But the ruqa, there are some that are also permissible, and there are some that are impermissible. So here the author, he separated this chapter and he mentioned that from them, an indication that there are some that are permissible and some that are impermissible, and this is from his good understanding of these texts, and also from his wara. The ulama mentioned that he will not just put all of the everything under one ruling and just be hasty to declare shirk or put these rulings upon the individuals. Rather, the one that there's a text that's clear that says this is shirk, you say this is shirk. As for the one that has details with regards to that, it could possibly be shirk, it could possibly not be shirk, this one requires details. So he didn't mention from shirk tama'im and ruqa. He mentioned here ma ja'a fi dhalika min al-hadith wal athar an as-sahaba radiyallahu anhu. Before closing, we end with a question. Think deeply. We see the author, he mentioned this is the first chapter in the tafsil of Tawheed, the details of Tawheed. If we remember, the chapter before this was the explanation of Tawheed, Shahada and La ilaha illallah. And at the end of that chapter, in the end of the chapter, the clarification of the proper interpretation of Tawheed and the meaning La ilaha illallah, he said, Rahimahullah, وَشَرْحُ هَذِهِ التَّرْجَمَةِ مَا بَعْدَهَا مِنَ الْأَبْوَابِ. The explanation of this chapter. The explanation of the chapter, the meaning of Tawheed and the meaning of La ilaha illallah, is the rest of the chapters after this. So here's the first chapter. So the author basically is telling us here from the first aspects that he is explaining the meaning of Tawheed and the meaning of La ilaha illallah is this chapter here. Whoever wears a ring or a string or something similar to that in order to remove harm or to prevent it, then this is from shirk. How is that explaining Tawheed?
Uh-huh. Allah, he meant like after you know the Tawheed and the virtue of Tawheed and everything, now we need to know the opposite, that harm, or then decrease it or negate it.
Aywa.
So we have to protect it and hold, to stay away from all these things that harm the Tawheed, or decrease it or remove it.
Sah.
Totally. So after you know the virtue of it, now you know you need to know the opposite.
Aywa.
So stay away.
Sahih.
Protect it.
Sahih. Malahu ziyada. That's right. You know the opposite. You know something by its opposite. Sahih. But he's clarifying here that this is the meaning of Tawheed.
Negation.
Uh-huh.
Is the negation part.
To know that. So, that's right. That's right. But where is the meaning of Tawheed? And the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Here. From shirk is to wear a string. From shirk is to wear amulet, tamima, believing that it will help you and aid you or remove harm from you or something like that. So then Tawheed is? At-ta'alu billah. That's it. We want to hit the nail on the head. Hey, ahsant, barakallahu fikum. So here we see that from shirk is to believe that something else can remove harm or prohibit it. To have the heart attached to something besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if it's just for means. That's not the means. even any that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He legislated means, there are means that are legislated to bring good, and there are means legislated by Allah Azza wa Jalla to prohibit harm. For somebody to attach himself to some to other than Allah, or to the means that Allah did not legislate, then this is attaching himself to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla likewise. From this aspect, then this is opposite of Tawheed. So then that means Tawheed is to attach your heart to Allah alone and nobody else, and to take the means that He has legislated and nothing else, and to suffice with that, in order to bring about good, in order to prevent harm. So then this is clarifying from this aspect, Tawheed is the opposite of that. As the brother mentioned, it's opposite of that. So what does that mean? That the heart will not have any reliance upon a string, or a rock, or a stone, or a grave, or a man, or anything to do these things. His heart will be attached to Allah alone. Allah alone. Allah will take in the legislative means. The legislative means to achieve His goal. But the heart here, this is the issue of this fear of the heart. Reliance and trust. Hoping in something that will protect you. Hoping in something that will help you. Or hoping in something that will bring about good for you. Or your family or your loved ones. Like this, that this here has to be for Allah alone. Has to be for Allah. He put his trust in Allah. He put his hope in Allah. He's afraid from Allah, not from these creation, not from the creation. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.